What's up, boys? I hope you are having an incredible day. Just a reminder that we drop every Tuesday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can listen to our podcast ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequilacation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
This episode of Bustin' with the Boys, is presented by Barstool Sports. I'm going to throw a few words at you. All right, here we go. Grit. Dependable, hardworking, strong, advanced. What do these words embody? They embody the Chevy Silverado. Shout out Chevy Silverado, no free shoutouts, the strongest, most advanced Silverado ever. This Silverado is dependable like the people who drive them, you. The design is big, bold, and commanding, and this truck will knock you out of your socks and turn heads when you roll up in this thing. A partner with grit and determination, anything is possible, and that's why Bustin' with the Boys has partnered up with Chevy Silverado, because it just makes sense. From everything in tailgating, hauling that new big screen TV or couch to watch the boys in, or you want to flex on somebody, towing those boats, RVs, and trailers, off-roading, moving day, helping out your friend or family member, even when you don't want to help them out, but you just want them to see that, hey, you're driving that Chevy Silverado. Road trips, all of it. The truck does everything, and that is why you need to get your cute little behind in a Chevy Silverado. You want to know what it takes to be the best and what some of the most legendary players have in common? You got to be on top, you got to be strong. You got to be ahead of the game and forward thinking. You have to work harder than everyone else, and you have to come through when everyone else is giving in. It takes grit, and you can't be afraid to get your hands dirty. Just like the top tier athletes, just like the boys, just like the Wolf Pack, just like everyone involved in this. The Silverado is in a league of its own, strong, advanced, and dependable. Take yourself to a Chevy dealership near you and let them know that the boys sent you.
Couple of housekeeping things for the boys. You guys are crushing it. You guys, the tier ones, dude, you guys are absolutely just being magnificent. I fucking love everything you guys are doing. The spread, the running down. The last week, and you got to think, you got to play a little math with me here, right? Because this, you're listening to this on Monday. I did this on Tuesday. My first solo pod came out yesterday. But to you, it came out a week ago, right? So we're playing this teeter-totter of up, downs, doing rounds. The week before that, with Theo Vaughn and Brandon Shaw, which I'm assuming probably has a little bit to do with it, dude, fucking, I had to bring up my curse words too, because I realize I'm cursing a lot, but freaking, you guys, dude, on the YouTube, on the live premieres, which my live premiere solo is coming out tonight, I'll probably have something else to say about that later, is just absolutely been ascending at this rate. No turbulence, so I'll probably just keep a little more straight, just straight into the atmosphere. So I appreciate you guys, man, because you guys are keeping this bus moving figuratively, not literally. There's not even a driver's seat, but you guys have done a good job, dude. So you guys are ascending, dude. You guys are through the roof, man. Like, just absolutely crushing it. The YouTubes are doing it. You guys are subscribing or rating 5 stars. The interaction on Twitter has been unbelievable. I've got a weird thing going on with Twitter and Instagram right now, because when we first started this Bus with the Boys podcast, me and Will, Will was always tweeting, and me and Taylor behind his back would just make fun of him, like, why is this guy always tweeting and doing stuff? And now here I am, you know, completely just being off the rockers and tweeting about everything. But you guys have been awesome, dude. You guys have been unbelievable. And before we get any farther, let's just dive in. Welcome to Bustin' with the Boys, brought to you by Barstool Sports. Now, we need to, as always, subscribe and rate 5 stars. Now, the way we keep this thing going in the direction is like the Pay It Forward movie, right? You tell a friend who tells two friends who tells two friends who tells two friends. That's how we fucking get the triangle of love, our pyramid scheme of podcast. We got to get that thing going. So you got to tell, just, you got to be our advertisement, man. I'm not going to go spend money on billboards. I might spend money. I don't know. Actually, I love billboards, but you guys got to subscribe. You got to rate 5 stars, dude. Subscribe on the YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. You can go to bustinwtb.com. Smack that merch up, dude. We had sales. You missed out on it, but the sale, you're still able to get merch if you want. We sold out on a few things, didn't we, Joshy?
Yeah.
We did. We had a lot of sellout things. You guys are, it's unbelievable the following you guys have had, which I've kind of, I talked about in the pre-intro before the intro. It's been very cool, man. You guys have been awesome. I think, I'm wondering, and like I said before about how we have to follow the bouncing ball when I record these things, I'm wondering how my last podcast aged, right? Because there's a lot of Titan fans out there today that I've seen on my Twitter that are very upset about the last game against the Cleveland Browns, right? You look at the end score and people are saying, I'm not saying, but people are saying, well, you know, it was trash time. We ended up coming back, blah, 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 blah. Yes and no. All right. Did the boys have the best first half ever? Obviously not. Like, for me to go and try to, you know, save that, you know, knight in shining armor, save the boys of the reports, I can't do that for you right now. But what I can do is double down on fighting through adversity that the boys did before. That was actual just cough. That wasn't actual. Maybe I have COVID. Maybe it's good that I'm not with the boys right now. One thing that it's just tough, right? The way the game snowballed in the beginning, they drive down. They get three. That's no biggie. We go for it on fourth. Now, here's the issue with people. Everyone's a coach on Monday, right? So people are calling out Vrabel, calling out Arthur Smith. That dumbass shouldn't have done X, Y, and Z. If we would have got it, you guys would have been like, the ball's on these guys, right? The steel cojones these dudes are repping with, all right? The fourth and one didn't work out, right? Aaron Brewer, and then people will be upset about Aaron Brewer catching that ball. Aaron Brewer is legitimately, like, he's like not even 6'2". And I think he would say he's 6'2". I don't think he is. Like 285. The dude's a freak athlete. All right, I've seen the kid run. I love him to death. Hard worker, freak athlete. I've seen him catch balls. That stuff happens, man. Dude rallied and dude got to it. And that's one of the things. So you don't get the fourth and one, right? Now you're at short field. You're about at the 50, right around the 40-yard line. Now they go in and score. Now that's asking a lot of the defense, right? People, well, statistically, this year, third down. I don't want to hear it, dude. You know why? Because I'm all about the positivity right now. You got to stay positive in times like this. It's the holiday season. You see the lights. The boys did say that the lights, there was going to get better and better as we go. I guess we missed this week, and that's okay. I just don't want this to become a habit, right? We just don't want to do that. We don't want things to become where we just start trending downwards. We've already talked about the ascend upwards, and why would we change that? Because it's beautiful, baby. All right, I'm trying to get to a cruising altitude of 30,000 feet. You know what I'm saying? So the boys go and score, right? Not the boys, the Browns. The Browns go and score. Now it's 10-0, all right? Then something happens that never happens. Never happens. Unfortunately, and these things do happen sometimes. And Derek should not beat himself up about that because Derek's a workhorse. He's the face of our team. He does an amazing job. He beats kids down over and over again. And so the guy fumbles. Look, who's the guy? What's the guy's name that pulled it out? He was a first round pick a while back, right? And he's bounced around a little bit. The defensive lineman that got him. Oh man, I wish I knew where he went. I think he went to Missouri. Regardless, fuck, pulls his arm. Ball comes out, and now you're back at the 50-yard line, right? So these guys don't even have to travel that far to go score. Now the game's 17-0, and we just blinked, right? Like, I don't even know the first quarter was over. It was like, oh, whoa, that's a lot to go down. Fast forward to halftime. I'm tweeting, little adversity, no big deal. Then they throw the bomb, right? Now everyone's like, fuck you, Taylor. Why don't you do something, you fucking loser? I don't know. What do you guys want me to do? Like, I have a torn ACL. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's only so many things that you can do. In the situation, me, I've already said this from day one. All I am is a number one fan, right? Text the boys before the game, win or lose. I text the boys after the game because I love them to death. And I know those guys. You guys don't know those guys, right? You're listening to me. I am the mediator between you and those guys. And those guys are unbelievable dudes. They go in at halftime. I get on the phone with one of my friends. We're talking, right? We're coaching. We're talking about what they should do, what they should do, blah, 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 blah. They get the ball in the beginning of the second half. Drive down there and score. Like, just start, the wheels just start turning. Defense starts playing better. Things just are starting. And you're starting to think right around halfway through the third quarter, or maybe even a little later than that, the boys might pull this off. Then they go into 4-minute mode after the game. Baker Mayfield, right? And Baker Mayfield, I have different levels of how I feel about Baker, right? Because if he was my teammate, I'd probably love the guy to death. I'd probably be all about him. Now I don't play with him. You know, so I'm looking at him, look at this slappy with your progressive commercials. You know what I'm saying? What do you mean? You lost your keys that many times? Eventually, you got to tell your fucking wife to go get the keys, right? You can't go through the security system that many times. Eventually, you're going to get flagged. You can't go back and forth. You can't do that in stadiums. Have your girlfriend, wife, whatever her name is, go in and get the things yourself. Chivalry, I get it. But still, it's frustrating. Frustrating to see the antics and stuff like that when it's not going for you, right? Like, we're all about, we talked about the Harbaugh and the Vrabel thing, and we're gung-ho about it, right? I'm over here speaking out of two sides of my mouth. I'm not like the Joker. I'm like this. I'm like the Joker, dude. I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth because I'm all excited about when Vrabel big times Harbaugh, because that's hilarious. And now Baker Mayfield, which the most athletic move I've ever seen in my life, when Higgins catches the ball and does the picks up his tie in the briefcase. He walked horrible. It was his celebration. He did a terrible job of it. I don't think he really bought into the role. But Baker Mayfield with his spin to one knee paparazzi move, that shit's unbelievable. I watched that and my knee hurt. My knee was like, we can't do that anymore. And I just massaged it a little and said, you're going to be all right, sweet cheeks. It's going to be okay. Eventually we'll be able to do that again. I don't know if I could do that before that. The kid's an athlete, right? And the kid has haters. And the more I'm talking about it, the more I like Baker Mayfield. Because the guy's got adversity all the time. He's a loudmouth cat, talks a bunch of shit, all this different stuff, and goes out and does what he did. And I'm happy for him that way. But then you see the antics, and I'm watching my team lose to him, and I hate the guy, you know? And I'm sure Titans fans are pissed about that, are pissed about the fight from the team. Like, we had it. We could have done it at the end, right? Like, there's too many mistakes, whatever. I'm not a coach. I can't go into that. Like I said before, you guys probably think I know what I'm talking about. I have no idea what I'm talking about. You know, I just don't, but I do know. I love watching the boys play. And I loved the fight they had at the end of the game. That was, to me, the coolest thing. And such a big difference between 2014 and 2015, which I talk about all the time, but like, you got to know your history so you don't repeat negative shit. Because if you go, you know, 2-14, 3-13, that's a feeling you never want, dude. You never want to be in mid October going, ain't no chance we're going to win. We're going to win the rest of the year. This is awful. And to watch those guys fight back from a 31-point deficit, which I think was a franchise record at halftime, like, that's pretty cool. That's very cool to see that kind of fight. I think Vrabel said it in the news a little bit. We just got to build off that second half. They did great, dude. They did an awesome job. You didn't get the win you wanted, but you know what? They play again. I'm taking the Titans. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot to be proud of in that game. Myles Garrett's a beast. Yeah, I probably sound really, really weird in your ears. Just me drinking a water. I'm not going to say what water because we don't do free shout outs here. But if you guys want a sponsor, we would love it. I actually love drinking this water. I'm not going to say what it is. Myles Garrett's a beast, dude. You could tell. I tell you what, I had COVID back in late June. And I, you know, it wasn't like a horrible thing. It was what it was. But when I had it, I was hurting. When I went back to going to work out, I took my 10 days or whatever the CDC rules are. And I went back and I did my workouts. And while I was doing my workouts, dude, the bare minimum of stuff I would used to do was hurting the old lungs. And so he was on COVID, right? Correct? He was on COVID reserve. Yep. Mm-hmm. Watching him, knowing I don't know Miles like that, right? I've been around him a few times, talked to him a few times. Good dude. I know Steelers fans don't think that after the whole Mason Rudolph thing. Or was it Mason Rudolph? Yeah, it was Mason Rudolph. Watching him during the game, because I'm watching David Lee Questenberry, right? Who I think had another good game. I think he had a sack. Dude, listen, you get to games like that where you're down 31 points and you got to sling it 100 times. Like, your boy might have given up a sack there, right? Your boy's given up sacks. It's not like, the invincible LaWant. No, dude, that shit's hard. It's hard to play left tackle. But it's hard to play any part in the offensive line. I think he held his own, dude. He had a couple short corners. We talked about those things. He and I talked about it at the game. I think he played well from what I can tell. Obviously, it wasn't the dominating performance it was against the Indianapolis Colts because, well, you know, that's how shit rolls sometimes, right? You ride the highs, you ride the lows, and you try to stay in the middle to make sure you can just continually get better every single day. I think David Lee did a good job of staying level the whole entire time. That's the kind of fight that dude has. But you could tell Miles during the game. They'd show him after like two plays, like the series just started, right? It's 3rd and 6 or whatever. And the dude's like, you know, hands on the old hippers, legs are crossed, and he's doing the thing. He's doing that. And you can just tell he's hurting. And, you know, I don't know if that's how he really was. He likes to play the game. Because some dudes actually play the game where you do a little, you're hurting a little bit. And then, oh, you'll just go super hard. You think to yourself, oh, this guy's not going to go hard. He's dying, right? And then, boom, the dude gets after it. And so he did that. He did that a few times. But I could tell, I could feel like I, because I've gone through it. And everybody has different experiences, right? Some people are in the hospital. Some people don't even feel anything. I think he and I were around the same bar based on how he looked from a body language standpoint, which is a lot.
Yeah, it says right here his parents actually both had it too. And he said he was in a lot of pain during the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, see, I didn't even read that article. That's how smart I am, dude. You know, I say I don't know what I'm talking about, and then here we are. I guess I know everything that I'm talking about, right? Just dipping back into that cerebellum. That, and you know what? Look up what the fuck in the brain is thinking, right? Because I don't think cerebellum's emotions, whatever that is. I'm dipping into that, all right? I'm dipping into your brain. I'm swimming around, dude. Just slithering around, loving you up, making you feel special, dude. And you're listening right now. And you guys are crushing it. It's unbelievable, the growth, right? We're doubling down. And I might even triple down on that, dude. So I guess Miles not feeling good from a Titan standpoint. That's one for us. First COVID, right? That's one for us. I don't know. What score are we at now?
I believe it's 4-3.
4-3 us or 4-3?
5-3 us.
Oh, we're dominating COVID. We are dominating COVID right now. That's a big deal, dude. I gotta be honest with you. I can't stand COVID. I can't stand this shit, dude. And here... Let me tell you guys about how dramatic you guys are. You people, right? You people, right? And it's both sides, right? Let's cut the political line down the middle where daddy likes to stay, all right? Daddy likes to dip his toes left and a little bit right sometimes, right? Because I like to, I'm a Switzerland cat, right? If you're a big Trump guy, guess who else is a big Trump guy? Your boy, right? If you're a big Bernie guy, guess who else is a big, Biden guy? You're a big Biden guy? Your boy, right? Because, dude, I don't know, right? I'm 29. I don't know. I don't fucking know. No one knows politics. No one knows what's going on, right? Then you got talks to the Illuminati and shit. Listen, COVID people, let's talk about what you should and should not do in COVID, right? You want to wear a mask, right? If you're on the highway by yourself in a car wearing a mask, you've probably gone too fucking far, right? You're probably this way, right? Stage left, if you know what I'm talking about. It's a little too much. It's okay to take that thing off and get some fresh air once in a while. You know what I'm saying? Because if you think about this, you got a mask on and someone rips a fart, you might smell the fart, right? Okay, so you probably, that shit probably, it could not get in, it could get in. I don't know, right? Fauci says one thing, CDC says another. It's crazy, all right? Now, if you're having a conversation with me, and you say, huh, Nazi Germany, I'm done. I'm fairy dust, dude. I am out of here. I'm out of here in that conversation. We're not talking about mass genocide. We're talking about the COVID thing, right? The mask, the moment, the no mask. Me personally, I loved what Shabby said. Shab goes, I'm a stats guy, 99.9%. I feel good about it. I'm not a mask guy. Me, I'm probably not either. But if there's an old person who feels uncomfortable in a situation, I'm going to put the mask on because that's, you know, it's just the golden rule, right? Joe Rogan says it best. Just be cool to people. Do the cool thing and just be cool, right? Yes, there's talks about liberties be taken away and there's talks about, you know, socialism on this side and these people are bigots and racists on that side. It's just all, we are just too divided as a country, you know? And what am I? I'm a privileged ass white dude, right? Like I am, right? Any way you want to say, like, dude, I'm a straight, rich white male, right? The worst right now, right? Or whatever. I don't know. I don't fucking know. I just think that we need to take a fucking chill tablet, right? Where's that prescription? Where's the doctor issuing the chill tablets? Take these twice daily. You know what? And maybe you'll just calm the fuck down a little bit. Everybody. I'm not saying this. You guys want to get mad at me over here? Get mad. If you guys want to get mad at me over here, get mad. But your boy stays in the line right in the middle. This is what we're going to do. Because it's frustrating, right? The whole world's fucking running in shambles. And some of the world's doing well. Some of the world's not doing well. America's not doing a great job with this stuff. We're not doing a great job. And we need to figure that shit out a little bit. Because there's got to be a happy medium. I don't have the answers for that. So if you're like, well, you think you're such a smart guy, Taylor, like you should fucking do something about it. You should run for office. I'm not going to do that, dude. Here's what I am. I'm going to sit in my bus and I'm going to spew out basic in the middle opinions that doesn't really piss off anybody too much. That's what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? When I was in the Titans building, when all that shit was going down and people were pointing fingers, that's the issue, right? With Twitter, everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's ripping around with their opinions. And you guys, we got a little bit of an infestation in the old Titan community. We got an infestation about some fair weather fans. That's okay. I don't think you should live and die by a sports team. I don't think you should do that. But you can't be like, fuck these guys right away when they're losing by 31 points. Fuck these guys when the COVID rules come out. Because you have no idea what's going on. And I know because I was there when the COVID stuff was going on. And I also know that Vrabel, John, the trainers, police that shit just fine. So relax, dude. All right? You know, Aretha Franklin says respect. Just switch the words, the letters and the word to relax. And then we're there, right? R-E-L-A-X-X-X-X-X-X. Little bit of relax. That's what we're doing, right? I've also thought I could be a country singer. That's what happens when you get hurt. But I digress. Literally, that's my COVID rant for the day. I just think, right, you want to go into a store. I don't want it to be forever. I don't want to wear a mask forever, right? Because if people are doing COVID and flu, eventually when we just say, okay, flu is now COVID. COVID is now flu, right? We're just going to live. I don't know when that happened. I don't know. You know why? Because the boy's not a doctor, right? General studies major. But for now, until we're figuring out the wallows of life and this whole 2020 thing, let's just, if we're going to go to the place, just wear the mask. And then you take it off and bitch about it as soon as you get in the car. I love that, dude. I love a good like individual bitch session. I do it all the time in the car. I'll just start bitching at people all the time. It's beautiful. And you get it off your chest. And also, if you're in the car wearing a mask, turn on the new Aretha Franklin song, Relax, dude. You know what I'm saying? R-E-L-A-X-X-X-X. I need a little relax. Relax. That's what we're going to do. You know what? How many people did I reach with that rant? Probably zero. Let's take a moment just to have a quick little break ski, right? Let's read an ad.
Knock, knock. Who's there? It's the boy Comp Nasty. Shout out myself, all free shout outs, because this is my podcast and I miss you guys incredibly so much not being able to be on these episodes. So I thought to myself, I'm sitting up here doing the ads, emailing with Barstool, taking care of all the other stuff, and I don't get to have the fun on the bus. And I'm listening to Taylor's episode, the boys crushing, and I just miss you guys. I miss engaging. So I thought to myself, how can I get in as I do these ad reads? Oh, bright idea. We're not full on ad reads this week, so I'll do an ad read to myself. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter @_WillCompton. Nice little follow. I'm decent. I'm solid, some would say, but I miss you guys. Thank you so much for your support. As always, big hugs, tiny little kisses. Keep being a fucking wolf. Keep subscribing. Keep unsubscribing. Keep resubscribing again to bounce those boys up the charts. I'm sure Taylor's been all over you about that, but I just wanted to pop in and say hello from the boy to you. Back to the episode.
Let's give an ACL update, dude. ACL feels good. You guys, I'm 6 weeks out today when I film this, which you're right. We're going to do it again. Monday, you're now listening to this pod. Tuesday, you're maybe watching this pod. It was this past Tuesday. So I'm 6 weeks out right now, man. And when you're watching this piece on YouTube, your boy's now 7 weeks out. I don't want that to confuse you. But when I'm filming this right now, I'm at 6 weeks. The fluid's going. Anna Hartman, she does a thing called movement rev. She's the best PT person I've ever, you know, athletic trainer, physical therapist. She's going to kill me if she hears that, because apparently that's a big deal. It's like calling a massage therapist a masseuse. Like, no, I'm not a hooker. Don't call me that. So like, that's kind of a thing, but I still really haven't found out yet. What the hell that is. She has done such an amazing job, dude. The way she, has just worked on my knee. My knee feels strong, dude. I'm pulling sleds backwards. And today I did forwards. I'm light. And I tweeted out today. So if you want a reference of when this podcast was filmed, just go back to when I tweeted this. Just an update on my weight. I'm at 279.3. I was 309.3 the day I got hurt. So that's exactly 30 pounds. It's crazy. Down to the point, right? And I'm looking in the mirror at myself with a t-shirt. I'm like, damn, bro, I'm looking small. I'm looking like a tiny little dude. But it's the cool thing is I'm laying such a cool, like a good solid foundation, right? I'm eating clean. I'm stretching. I'm getting a lot of mobility in my thoracic spine. I'm in my hamstrings, my hips, my quads, like the foundation I'm building for myself to start building on. I'm super excited about. And maybe someday I took a picture like a week after surgery when I got home, dude. Oh my God, dude. Talk about a bag of dicks. Like it was bad. And every day, you know, I've reached into my bag of dicks. I've pulled out one dick and I've thrown it in the garbage can. So I'm slowly, there's a lot of dicks in there. So I'm just slowly grabbing dick, throwing it out, grabbing another dick, throwing it out every day. Every work day is another dick gone. And so your boy, I mean, it's not like a miraculous bodybuilder now, but I tell you what, like things are looking good, you know, under the shirt. It's skinny. It is skinny. I'm a skinny 270, 279.3. I'm a skinny 279. The boy got a frame though. So there is a lot going there. I'll tell you what was a one thing that I watched, and this is going to be so ridiculous for me to compare to, but just stay with me for a second, right? Ron Riviera. God damn it, dude. Ron Riviera has cancer, right? And I'm sitting at my house the other day watching ESPN and watching this absolute gangster on the Washington football team. Like, they're doing a thing on ESPN. He's ringing the bell, getting through cancer like we saw with David Lee Questenberry, which is the coolest shit ever, right? Like, this dude's going through chemo while coaching a football team. Like, when you, like, for me, and this, please, this is like comparing war to football, which coaches do all the time. It's so annoying. But, like, here I am doing something equally comparable. When you get hurt, right, you don't have time to think about, poor me, this is going to be a lot, this is going to happen, what if this, what if that? You just kind of, like, go through it, and you slowly, like, you know, as you get distant, more distant future and things start to feel more and more and more normal, emotions do start to come out. And I can only imagine, right? It's on steroids for Ron, because the dude is, I am so inspired by this guy, the way he's handled himself in this situation. And yeah, the Washington football team, I mean, some would argue that the NFC East is the most competitive division, right? Well, I mean, they're all like the same record. They beat the Steelers yesterday, which is, I mean, you know, it's cool to see teams go undefeated. And it's cool to see, you know, teams beat undefeated teams. So that was a cool situation as a spectator watching, right? Don't think of me as a left tackle in the NFL. Think of me as also another spectator just watching a cool game where, you know, a team that's totally was slept on and then X, Y, and Z, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's, I can't imagine what he is going through when this season's over, right? Because when you ring the bell, that means you're finished your chemo, right? And you're in remission. So the man's in remission, but he still doesn't have time to focus on that. And I bet at the end of the season, he has a good, long, little, you know, a cry, dude. A good, solid, you know, I've been through a lot. And you're not out of the woods yet. I think it's like a 5-year deal. What I know David Lee went through, and he talks about it all the time, where it's like, you go and you go have cancer and you, quote unquote, beat cancer. But like every time you're like kind of sick for the next 5 years, it's like, fuck, is this thing back? You know, it's kind of crazy. And I think that dude's going to have a good cry. And here's why. I've been emotional lately. I'm an emotional little boy. I don't know what it is, but let me drink this water that I'm not talking about. I bet that sounded fun. That sound weird in your headphones? Yeah. Yeah, that didn't sound, that probably sounded like a no pause situation, didn't it?
Very.
Okay. So like obviously ACL cancer, totally different things, right? But it's still a traumatic experience. And when you go through a surgery, right? This is my first surgery besides getting my tonsils out. Like I go, and my body starts to start working on shit, right? Like my body, I feel like a bag of dicks, which I think is going to be the reference from now on for my body. And then slowly but surely, as those dicks start to leave my body, like I'm starting to gain movement. I'm starting to gain a little more strength. I'm starting to see my less atrophy in my leg. And the other day, I'm not gonna lie, I posted on Instagram. I was walking backwards. I was pulling sleds backwards. And there was like a point where I was like, I want to cry right now. Like it was such an emotional thing for me. Because when you go through a surgery and your leg doesn't work at all, right? People are waiting on you hand and foot. My poor wife and mother-in-law and my poor kids don't understand what's going on. I'm just laying on the couch, can't move at all, right? Fast forward 6 weeks later, now I'm walking around normal and I'm pulling, you know, 3 plates on a sled. And it's like there's not only like a physical trauma, there's emotional trauma to go with it. So I feel like, I don't know, me and Ron have been through a lot, you know? We've been through a lot. And so So here we are, dude. Another thing that really fucked me up, man. I might have to go sociopath mode because this did screw this. I literally cried. It was two nights ago. I think it was the same day as pulling the sled. So there's more emotion shit. I'm watching this commercial. I don't know if it's or what it is, but this little girl is making Christmas ornaments and she's putting them in an envelope and she's sending them off to God knows what, right? But for some reason, their mailbox is like 3 miles away. So you see them getting their and they drive and the little girl drops it off in the mailbox to be sent away, blah, 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 blah. And so you see it in the summertime, it looks super hot outside. The next time you see them driving, it's fall. So time is passing, right? Time is going. We're always moving. And then the wintertime hits and it's snowing outside. There's Christmas tree in that background when the girl's making an ornament. Might get hairy for the boy now. All right. I'm telling you, I fucking cried over this. And I've been cursing way too much too. I noticed that in the last pod. So this little girl is making the ornament and the mom comes up and says, "One more time. Do you want to do one more?" Or something along those lines. And the girl goes, "Yeah, I want to." So they get in their car. And they drive to the mailbox, the 3 miles away mailbox. It must have a lot of land. And this little girl gets out of the car to go put it in the mailbox to send it off. But behind the mailbox is another tree that you didn't notice before, but now you notice the tree. And all the ornaments she was sending off to you don't know where yet are on the tree as if they reappeared. She sent them off, but why would they be back here? And then here we go. The dad in an army outfit walks out from behind the tree and you're just like, oh, I might do it now. I might cry right now. No joke. And the mom and the daughter, like they get so excited. They see like that's a Christmas holiday spirit commercial. And I tell you what, I almost bought a today because of that. I almost went to the dealer and looked at him and he said, "Well, we can do some discounts." And I was like, "Don't about the discounts." All right. For that little girl and her dad. And they got to probably try to explain to me that, you know, sir, you know, that's acting, right? Not acting on these heartstrings. Cause that thing tore me up, dude. That thing definitely was a little bit of a tearjerker for me. It was a lot. So, you know, think what you want, but it's okay to get emotional this time of year. You know what I'm saying? It's okay to do that. It looks like the boys deal with a little bit more than maybe you guys are. You with your working legs, you piece of shits. All right, and on that note, let's dive into another ad.
This episode of Bustin' with the Boys is also brought to you by Cuts Clothing. Huge fan of Cuts Clothing and their tailored clothes for men and women of all ages and sizes. But for better or worse, 2020 has kicked off the work from home era, and everyone is asking one big question. What are we supposed to wear? Do you really need to wear a tie to your Zoom meeting? Probably not. But sweatpants and your go-to gym tee don't feel right either. Cuts Clothing is the perfect solution to your work from home wardrobe confusion. That's a nice little saying right there. Cuts is the best in the world at making technical apparel for the sport of business. Their t-shirts, polos, and hoodies have enough quality and style to wear in the office, on a date, and anywhere in between, even them sheets, boys. So you don't have to choose between a classic look and that modern feel. The fit, fabric, and function, you want to hear about this? Cuts started out in 2016 by making what GQ calls the only shirt worth wearing. Athletic, tailored-looking fit that is perfect for work, a date, all of the stuff I said earlier. Their custom-engineered, wrinkle-free PYCA, P-Y-C-A, pro fabric can only be described as buttery soft. Shopping by Cut makes it so easy to find your perfect shirt. A great mix of long sleeves, short sleeves, collars, cuts, and colors will have you ready for any situation. Cuts is loved by your favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, and even podcast hosts. Shout out the boys. It seems like everyone is wearing Cuts these days, and we're going to give you 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/bussin. That's B-U-S-S-I-N. That's cutsclothing.com/bussin for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing.
Oh, dude. I'm sure that was a nice little ad read that Will just read for you guys. We do have a couple of things that we need to talk about that happened on the bus most recently in this last week. Everyone knows that the Paul brothers are fighting people, right? That Paul beat up... who did he beat up? Who's it?
Nate Robinson.
Who's that?
Old NBA player.
Oh, he was an athlete.
Oh, yeah.
See, I got to start following shit a little bit.
Won the dunk contest like 3 times.
No way.
I swear.
So this is an athletic cat. And this is Logan Paul? Forest Logan Paul, or is it the Jake Paul?
That was Jake Paul.
Jake is the Suicide Forest guy.
No, that is Logan Paul. Jake Paul beat up Nate Robinson.
So is Jake older or younger than Logan?
Jake is younger.
I remember them on Vine when it first came out. They were awesome. And then they were loved, and then the Suicide Forest thing. I've never seen the video. Apparently it's fucked up that it was a dead person.
It's essentially a forest where everybody in either Japan or China.
It's Japan, I think.
Okay, and they all commit suicide there. So, and he went there.
But it's okay to go there, right?
There were bodies and stuff.
And he took a video?
Oh, yeah. From what I believe.
That's tough, dude. That's tough. So, Jake beat this dude up. Correct. Jake is, and he's the one that took the video. No, Logan's the one that took the video. Okay. So, Jake Paul fights Nate Robinson.
Yes.
And he gives him that cracker one piece, dude. Put that thing, that's funny I said cracker one piece. I actually didn't even notice that I told that joke just now. He gives him that cracker one piece. What a stupid fucking joke. He gives him that cracker one piece, dude, and puts his ass down. And the dude, you see it, and you're like, that's pretty cool. Everything, I didn't watch the fight, but everyone says of the Tyson fight, right? It's never Roy Jones Jr. It's Tyson. Of that fight, it was the best thing of all. And so apparently this kid named Billy Football, and I don't know if I want to say his name. Well, I've already said it. So Billy Football, he is an intern for a part of my take, who are, we've talked about them on the show before, right? We've gone up, we've gone down, we've gone through and around. But Billy is like, I guess, hellbent on fighting this cat, right? Now, one of our interns, CBD Jack, I don't know how it happened. It was definitely instigated by me and Will. It was after a pod, we're sitting there talking, and Garrett, our other intern, Garrett and Jack are really good friends, right? They're best friends. They live together, blah, 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 blah. And Garrett is gassing Jack's ass up because Jack went to go work out at Booth Camp. Sean Booth was actually on the pod. Shout out Sean Booth. Was just absolutely gassing Garrett up over and over and over again. I've seen him fight. He can beat people's ass, blah, 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 blah. And then who brought up Billy Football? Who brought that up? Because I didn't know who that was. You might have. I think you did. Yeah. Hey, Garrett doesn't want to admit it. And Garrett brings up, we'll say for the sake of argument, that he said it. Now we call CBD Jack after he gets done with his workout. They're FaceTiming. I end up FaceTiming Big Cat. And Jack said something. I'm not going to put words in his mouth. He said something that to me, right? Jack cruised into my cerebellum and said to me, you need to call Big Cat and you need to tell him that he needs to fight Billy Football. So I get on the phone, Big Cat, and then he's, you know, chilling as Big Cat does, just chilling on his couch. I don't know what that means, but he's chilling. And I tell him, hey, listen, our intern wants to fight your intern. And without reacting, Big Cat just goes, all right, let's set it up. And I'm like, oh shit. Okay. So I'm like, man, Gary, I hope you gassed your boy up, this, that, and the other. And, then all of a sudden hell breaks out, right? Like Big Cat subtweets us by saying, I'm not taking any fight right now for, Billy Football. Billy Football really wants to fight. He wants to fight Jake Paul or Logan Paul.
He wants to fight Jake Paul.
And Jake Paul is the one that beat up Nate Robinson.
Correct.
Okay. Now, he's super hell-bent on that, and Big Cat says, we're not taking fights right now, blah, 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 blah. Obviously, I have to tweet back at that because it's fun and games now. Now, this Billy Football kid starts tagging Jack saying he's going to fucking beat his ass, all this different stuff. You come to the New York place anytime. And things have gone crazy because Billy's speaking out of both sides of his mouth. One minute, he's not fighting nobody except for one of the Paul brothers. I'm not going to try to ask again which one it is. And then in the other mouth, he's like, I'll beat this kid's ass, no problem. Now, I don't even know what Billy Football is. I start looking up this cat. Dude's got some meat on him. You know what I'm saying? Dude definitely hits the creatine. He definitely eats steak. He definitely listens to Joe Rogan's podcast, right? Like, that's the kind of cat he is. And I respect the shit out of it. He's saying he beat Jack's ass. I don't know. I really don't know if he would actually beat Jack's ass or not. I do know that, you know, I'm willing to bet on that fight, though. You know, as much as the NFLPA will let me, I believe it's $250. I'm willing to bet that much that maybe Jack wins. That's what I'm willing to bet. Maybe Jack wins. And now Billy's got no fight because right one of the Paul brothers is fighting Floyd Mayweather, correct?
The older one, Logan.
Now Logan is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jake Paul beats up Nate Robinson and Logan gets the better fight.
Yeah.
Listen to me. If you don't like the Paul brothers because of the Suicide Forest thing, I understand that completely. I don't have an opinion on them because I've never met them and really seen anything other than some of their funny vines. But these kids, dudes, they're my age or older, are literal marketing geniuses. The kid is getting a fight with the best, arguably one of the best boxers of all time, Floyd Mayweather, an exhibition match. It's unbelievable. And it's going to be some patty cake bullshit that people are going to be underwhelmed by, but they're both going to make $100 million+. So shout out the Paul brothers, dude. Shout out the Paul brothers for absolutely killing it, dude. I cannot believe this guy's going to fight Floyd Mayweather. And I don't know, like the dude, I saw a picture of Floyd and he's a smaller cat, right? Defensive boxer. And I'm going to speak out of my mouth that I don't know right now. He's a defensive cat. Like, right. No one can touch him. Super annoying to fight because he can bob and weave and move and do all that, right? He's not Rocky Balboa. He's going to take 1,000 punches in the chin and still win. And this, but I looked at this Logan guy, and he's got some trap about him. You know what I'm saying? He's got some meat in the chest. I think if you got these two like legit backyard brawling, like, hey, your biting's allowed type shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking Logan wins this fight. He's bigger. He can put your hands on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't. How fast is Floyd? Can he run away? You know what I'm saying? Floyd's a smaller cat. Now, I don't want to disrespect Money Mayweather because the dude's, like I said, he's an undefeated boxer. He's one of the greatest of all time. I just think that, Logan Paul, if they did like a, Kimbo Slice backyard fight, like I think Logan's winning that fight because shit's like there's no holds bar, right? Boxing is a very tactical, technical sport with the heeing and the hawing when you punch. I don't know how to fight at all. I don't. I know how to like side punch people. I know how to like knock kids out on the side when they're being disrespectful, right? But I haven't been to fight since I was in like seventh grade. So I don't know the first thing about fighting. But this is good shit that people are going to tune into. I might even tune into it. People are going to tune into this and it's going to be, oh dude, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be hilarious. The letdown, I believe that's going to happen, right? I don't know when the fight is. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that it's going to be a major letdown when it happens because it's an exhibition match. People are going to be like, oh, he's going to knock his ass out. And, oh, dude, if Logan Paul knocked out Floyd Mayweather, the uproar in the world. If Logan Paul can knock out Floyd, and I don't know anything about them. I don't know anything about this dude. I just know that these guys are absolute marketing geniuses. If Logan Paul beats up Floyd Mayweather, cancel Christmas, right? It's done. The game is, it's, these dudes are now projected into something you just don't, like a Ronda Rousey when she's at the top of her game type shit. Like, that's the kind of level, like Conor McGregor now type shit, you know? They'll be like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but hated. But you know what I'm saying? Like, Dwayne's the most loved out there in the spectrum, which we've been doing a lot of spectrum things today. That's where the Paul brothers will be, but they'll sell anything. They'll be able to do a tequila company just like Dwayne, that kind of shit. That's the kind of shit we're talking about, dude. It's crazy. It absolutely blows my mind how those guys can do that, dude. It's crazy. And now I don't know what's to come anymore. Oh, what are you gonna say?
I'm just gonna say, think about all the professional boxers that would love that opportunity, and this kid got it because his little brother beat up Nate Robinson.
Dude, no, has he fought somebody before, Logan? And he pounds cats.
I believe so. Yeah.
How big is Logan Paul?
Want to say he's like 6'2". Let me look that up real quick.
Oh, he's a taller cat.
Yeah, he's 1-0 right now in professional fights. I believe he beat up another like YouTube guy or something like that.
And you saw Mike Tyson comments on how those guys have saved boxing.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
6'2". All right. How old is he?
25.
Oh, he's young. He's 4 years younger than me. Oh, these guys are geniuses, dude.
And he's the older one. So the younger one, Jake Paul, I think he's like early 20s or something like that.
Oh, my God. Both kids are worth $100 million. And you might be listening to this fuming at the mouth, right? But the Suicide Forest thing. Yeah, I haven't seen the video. It's probably fucked up. It's probably not something I would want to watch anyway. But this dude's 16. Look at how tall is Floyd Mayweather.
5'8".
Bro, they're probably not in the same weight class, are they?
No shot. No.
Right?
Floyd is 5'8", and he fights at 150.
And what does Logan Paul fight at?
Gotta be like, I don't even, let me look at that real quick.
If I could bet on fights, I would bet on, I would bet on this one, and I'd probably bet on Floyd, because, you know what I'm saying, 1-0 versus 51-0, it's just kind of crazy.
200 pounds.
He's 50 pounds heavier, and the dude's got some, he ain't fat, like, he's, there's no fat on this kid. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean he can throw a punch. If you have the ability to knock somebody out, I mean, I don't know how you're going to touch Floyd. I don't know how you're going to do it after watching him fight Conor McGregor, who Conor McGregor is a, you know, one of the best stand-up UFC fighters of all time, who has a striking, you know, can strike from a distance, can belay the power, right? Like, I'm acting like I know what I'm talking about now. It's ridiculous. But if you, you know, and Floyd buried Conor in a way from just like tiring him out because he couldn't touch him after a while. And Conor's his first fight. He, you know, you put them in a UFC octagon, it's over in the first round. Conor would just absolutely dummy Floyd Mayweather. Is this the fight right here?
Yeah, this is Logan Paul's fight.
There it is again. The overhands keep the hands low.
I love that he's rocket. Oh, nice little left hook there, dude. So, and he's rocking the red, white, and blue shorts, dude. Oh, yeah, I like, I gotta love it, dude. These guys are, they're tugging on your heartstrings. They're figuring out that the, just him wearing red, white, and blue shorts. He's genius. It's genius, the marketing. I'm not getting in the ring with anybody, dude. I got CTE on the way. I don't need that more of that shit. That's crazy. But those guys, man, did he knock him out?
Let me look real quick.
What qualifies you to be a YouTuber? Yeah, people make like millions and millions of dollars off YouTube, right? We got to do that.
He's 1-0 by total knockout. So, yeah, he knocked him out.
Total knockout or technical knockout?
Technical knockout, yeah.
So they waved it off, they threw in the white towel type thing. He didn't knock him out cold like his brother did.
Yeah.
I think you give Jake the fight, right? Why wouldn't you give Jake? Is Logan the more popular?
Yeah, he's
Really?
Yeah, he's been around longer, I'm sure. But Jake Paul's trying. He called out McGregor after his win the other day against Nate Robinson.
If you get McGregor to fight him, dude, and you get Logan, dude, shout out. It's over, dude. Like, good for them. Good for the Paul brothers. I don't care what your opinion is on them. Good for them for being marketing geniuses, and shame on you for not thinking of it first, right? Like, that's just how the cookie crumbles, right? That's it from Bruce Almighty. So I don't know, dude. That's crazy. The whole thing's just crazy. Let's do some current events. That is wild, dude. Oh, but before we do current events, let's definitely tap in for a quick little, let's do an ad.
Georgia Boot. Shout out the world's most comfortable boot, Georgia Boot. Georgia Boot is America's hardest working boot, just like you guys. For 80 years, Georgia's been making boots that work as hard as you do. Tough enough for your job, cool enough for everything else. Georgia Boot makes super comfortable and super good looking boots, so comfortable you'll never want to take them things off. I like looking good. The boys like looking good. Even when we're working, these boots do everything we need. They will hold up in any condition without sacrificing any comfort. It has comfort technology of an athletic shoe packed into a great looking boot. So great looking that the boys are always asking where they can get these boots. And they're also at a price you can afford. Because every time I'm asking, or every time I get asked, I gotta let the boys know the price I paid and where to find them. Georgia Boot. Whether you're working on your feet all day, working around the house, or grilling out with your friends, these boots won't sacrifice comfort or style. Georgia Boot offers the best work boots, wedges, and loggers around. Whether you need a waterproof boot, steel toe, soft toe, square toe, met guard, non-puncture shank, non-slip sole, they've got it all. Head over to georgiaboot.com and use code BUSSIN for 20% off. That's georgiaboot.com and use code BUSSIN, bussin, for 20% off.
Do I have to put my headphones on to hear this?
We got two fouls.
On the defense. Pause it.
We got.
I've never, this might sound ridiculous, I've never seen a Mexican ref before, dude. In my life. Where is this? Is this in Arizona?
This is in Texas.
Where in Texas?
Edinburgh High.
Isn't that, like, I've never seen a Mexican ref before. And that's just an observation, right? That's all that, that's all that turns into. Go ahead. So this kid, he's he gets ejected, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Quarterback, number 88. And an unfortunate high conduct, number 88 on the defense.
Oh, two. Disqualified. Gone. Kid starts clapping. That kid probably sucks. Number six, you're probably bad at football. Too small. Oh, shit. Oh! Okay. What? All right, this kid... 88, first off, you think his little skinny tight end's coming out, dude. This kid's a little thick, right? He's got some meat behind him. And he goes and absolutely dummies the ref. And then what are the other players doing? Like, is he related to someone else on the other team? If I'm playing a game and I see a ref get dominated like that, I'm probably laughing. I'm probably turning around and going back to my I'm not going to go fight for that ref. I don't owe him anything. But that is wild. Is that the same ref talking to the coach right there?
No, I believe he's like laying down somewhere because that was the head ref that got knocked.
Yeah, that's right. White hat. This kid, dude, what do you think? Like, this kid's got some mommy, daddy. She's got to have some issues going on. You know what I'm saying? Because if you just get ejected from a game, you punch a kid or something like that, shit happens. I've never in my life thought to myself, I need to go de-cleat this ref ever. And this dude, this fucking kid, he got expelled, didn't he? He probably got expelled. I hope they didn't do. Did they do anything to the football team? Say that again. Use the thing.
He got charged, I'm pretty sure, with some form of assault.
You're lying.
No, for real.
I mean, that makes sense. I don't know why I would be so surprised by that.
Yeah.
The kid just absolutely. You think you can't get in trouble when you're in a football uniform, right? It's like, oh, okay, the game's over. I'm calmed down now.
Yeah. That's it's tough. Just a ref.
Yeah, it's just a ref, right? He's not a real human being. Yeah, who is referee charged with assault? Team removed from place. Oh, so the team has now been kicked. See, that's where, why would the team be removed from playoffs? There's probably something I'm not understanding for the kid not to be in it. You know what I'm saying? For the team not to be in it, because the kid, it's like, okay, kid's a bad egg. He's probably getting expelled, right? You're wearing 88. I don't know how good the kid is. Was the kid any good at football?
Not sure about that, but I read somewhere where he was like a state champion wrestler. So,
he knows the body. My dad always told me growing up, you never fight a wrestler. You go fight whoever you want, never fight a wrestler. Those kids know the body, dude. They'll take you down, pressure points and all that shit. That's crazy. I can't, that bums me out that the school was moved from the playoffs. Because now you're screwed over. You know how many seniors are probably on that team? Let's say it's a big school, 25, 30 seniors on the team. Like that, those kids, it's over. The game's over for them. They'll never play collegiate football ever again. I mean, did they lose that game? I'm assuming they won it, right? Or was the game done right after that?
I would think if they're going to kick them out of the playoffs, they probably ended the game right there too.
Hey, that blows me away. Man, that's a bummer. That kid just ruined a lot of people's senior years in the playoffs. Man, I can't believe that happened. That's a bummer. I mean, good. He got charged with assault. Good. Hopefully the kid learns a lesson. Hopefully it's a first strike situation. Hopefully he doesn't have to go to jail for a while, but good. Good. You know, shit happens, dude. You make mistakes. I've made mistakes. I've assaulted people before, gotten in trouble for it, and we moved on. And you learn, right? It's not like we're all perfect, but the kid needs to learn a lesson. But it just sucks for the other kids that nothing happened to them. They didn't do anything wrong. And you guys, and then they got to go. They can't play football now. If I'm a kid on that team, I'm beating that kid's ass. And if he's bigger than me, I'm getting three of my buddies and we're going to beat that kid's ass. You know what I'm saying? Get three of your buddies, go beat that kid's ass. Now, don't actually do that, because the last thing I need is for you guys to go beat that kid's ass and then I have to get like subcharged. Do you get that? You know what I'm saying? Like a subtweet, but subcharged. I don't need those kind of issues right now. I got two kids. But to watch a high school kid do that, it's like, okay, charge the kid, give him probation, some sort of community service. Have him pay for what happened to the guy, whatever real injury he had. Not like, oh, my neck. No. The real shit that the MRI shows. You pay for that through your probation. You know what I'm saying? And we just move on. And let the kids play. And that's all. That's all. That's all that should have happened. And that should have been done. That should have been the end of whatever. But I don't know. That kind of goes back to, that's a little, that seems like a little too much the more I think about it. You said, like, not the kid. Do whatever you want with the kid, right? But you don't kill the whole flock. You take out one. I don't know. If you disagree with me, tell me you disagree with me. Because I don't see why those kids shouldn't be able to play football. You know what I'm saying? Those kids didn't do nothing wrong. That's a bummer, man. High school football is the most fun, too. My high school is in a state championship this year, this week. So that'll be cool. Shout out Chaparral Firebirds, man. You guys, I hope you guys go win. I think it's Highland Hawks or something like that. What else we got?
Michigan-Ohio State game this weekend canceled due to COVID.
Good. Just fucking good, dude. Like, that is... Here's the tweet from Michigan. Count it as a win, dude. Because there was not a fucking chance. I hate saying that, right? And I just talked about fair weather fans. It's... So who had the tests? Look that up. I'll just talk about how I feel, and then you can just tell me whatever. But I'll tell you what, like, those kids... They should have been able to play that game. You know, I don't know how many tests they had, blah, blah, blah. The whole COVID thing, it's too hairy for me to be like, well, they should have, they shouldn't have. You know, it's just like football is a good thing for kids. I believe people, like, football is a much better sport than people believe. But Michigan, they ain't winning that game.
Looks like Michigan was the team with all the positive tests.
The culprit. So now does Michigan take the L?
Not sure. I mean, they canceled the game, so didn't they cancel this past weekend as well against Maryland?
That's right. They did cancel that game. And I don't know if they would beat Maryland. Shit. I mean, things have gone super downhill. So now they're doing bowl games, and I think they said on the NCAA that you don't have to win six games like they used to make a bowl game this year based on the circumstances. I don't disagree with that at all. I think that's a good deal if you're going to play those bowl games. Now, if you're going to get kids wearing more tread off their tires just to get their shit canceled, just let the kids go on break then. You know what I'm saying? Let the kids go train for the draft. Let the kids go back and do their school, whatever it is. But it's like, don't, if you're going to do a bowl game, do the bowl game. Because then it becomes too hairy, dude. It becomes too much of a pain in the ass. I wonder what the Ohio State kids feel about how they feel about this. They probably obviously wanted to play. They're a damn good football team. Like, they are, Ohio State is so relevant. They are so relevant in the football world. Like, I don't know. Like, you know the movie Warriors? Like, the Big Ten sends Ohio State, that gang, to go down to fight. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of shit we're talking about. That's how good Ohio State is. And if you're a Michigan fan, which you probably are, some of you probably are, you know, get mad at me if you want, man. That's just the reality of the situation we live in, right? I don't want to live in a false reality with you if we're going to just pretend like Michigan is relevant right now. Because they're not. You're not relevant right now, Michigan. You weren't relevant when I was there. Maybe one year we went to the Sugar Bowl and beat Virginia Tech in like a triple overtime. And our kicker, you know, had that epic line at the end of the game in a press conference about him winning the field goal kick, talking about naked girls on the beach or girls in bikinis or something like that. It's a killer line. But that's the only year you were relevant. Because other than that, like, you had to go back to Jake Long, Chad Henne type. Mike Hart, those dudes. That's when Michigan was relevant. And it breaks my heart because I went there. I gave that school everything I had, and, you know, you haven't won a Big Ten championship since 2004, 2006, whatever it was. And you're still caught up on Bo Schembechler, who's an amazing coach. I never got the opportunity to meet him, but there's gotta be a point where you need to look to the future. And I don't know if that's coaching. I don't know what the deal is, man, because I'm not a coach, right? I talk about all the time. I don't know what I'm talking about. This is one man's humble opinion. And Vrabel and I jokingly make a bet every single year, and Stretch is his secretary. He's a secretary, and Stretch texted me and was like, "Oh, you, thank God for you, the game was canceled." And you know, you're damn right, because I would have lost money on them, man. I would have lost money on Michigan. It just sucks. It sucks to, you know, you want, for the sake of college football, Michigan is a team that you want to be relevant. You know, just like a perfect example, and this might tug a couple more heartstrings. A perfect example of Michigan in the Big Ten is Tennessee and SEC. relevant, historically great football team who has done so many great things. You're not anymore. No one's looking at Tennessee year in, year out going, you guys got it. You know, and thank God Jack's not here to hear me say this. That'll break his little heart. But Michigan's that way. Michigan and Tennessee are one and the same. Historically great and just didn't have the opportunity to get it done. And that's just, you know, bam, 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 bam. That's life. That's just what it is, dude. Now, what do you do? Like now as an AD, what do you do, right? Because your season's over unless you're going to play the bowl game, which I don't know if you do that, right? You have a bunch of kids with COVID. You do, you don't, who cares? You know, it's not like, it's not going to be like where you go, hey, we're playing the Outback Bowl. We're going to go to Tampa. We're going to enjoy the week. We're going to be by the beach. We're going to enjoy a new situation. Here's some per diem every single day, that kind of bullshit. Gifting suites. It doesn't happen this year, right? Because the COVID. Or at least I assume like it's not going to happen. It's just kind of crazy, right? And so do you even play the bowl game? Do you even do that? Or, you know, does Harbaugh stay? That's a question that you guys need to ask yourself. Who's the head coach for Tennessee?
Jeremy Pruitt.
Does he stay? Do they, you know, because I do listen to some of the local new sports networks here now that I'm not playing. Cause you know, when you're playing, you want to keep the blinders on. So you don't really listen to that type of stuff, but I've been listening quite a bit and it sounds like people aren't very happy with that cat. Now I don't know him. Right. So it's unfair for me. I don't know what his recruiting has been like. I heard the guy's a great recruiter, but he hasn't developed the kids that he wants to develop or needs to develop. And they're just not getting it done. So what does Tennessee and Michigan do, right? You have to draw the line in the sand. Are you going to be able to go out and find a better coach that's going to be able to develop players? Maybe they go switch. Maybe Jeremy Pruitt goes to Michigan and maybe Harbaugh goes to Tennessee. I don't know, dude. I really have no idea. I tell you what, that's one of the more underrated things is the development of players. That's what we missed out on when I was there too. Like some cats just, you know how many five-star dudes we got at Michigan that are so great and just stayed the same. Like didn't step, boom, 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 do the Michigan freshman, always better as a sophomore, always good as a junior, always great as a senior. It just wasn't there. We just didn't have it, man. And that sucks. Hey, you know what I'm saying? You just got to figure that shit out, Michigan, because it's tough. It's tough for me to go and text guys on Saturday that have played there in the past. And, you know, it's a shit talk show. All of us, you know, we're like, what the fuck are these guys doing? You know, and it's not the kids, dude. I tell you what, and if you're a Michigan football player and you happen to run by this podcast, I respect the shit out of you guys, man. Like it's your guys' win record was way better than when I was there. It's not like, you know what I'm saying? It's just when you guys play the big teams, we don't win. Now I'm putting myself in there because I don't want you to take this as me being disrespectful. It's just looking at things from a realistic perspective. That's what this shit turns into. So, I don't know, man. I'm not going to change anything by talking about it. I'm just kind of more venting as myself because, you know, you go to a school, you put your heart and soul into something for 4.5 years, you want to leave it better than you came. That's what makes me so proud to be a Tennessee Titan is, you know, you come here and it's a shit show, right? It's awful. I'm not saying guys like Michael Ruse didn't do a great job and stuff like that. Michael Ruse is one of the, you know, greatest tackles in Tennessee Titans history. But you go there and it's a shit show. You're 2-14, 3-13. And I was a part of something that got better. And that is special to be a part of. I don't feel that way about Michigan. I don't feel like I left it in better hands than I got there. You know, I'm not saying I'm the only person, but it just is one of those things. And it's hard to look at things from a realistic perspective. Because fuck, man. Nobody wants to look in the mirror. Nobody wants to look in the mirror and see a negative reality sometimes. But here we are. Here we are, Michigan. You know, hate me if you want. Don't care. Do what you want. You know, political philosophy. Do what you want. So, whatever. What's next?
We got Dick Down in Dallas goes number one.
What the fuck does that mean?
Not really sure, but let's click the link and see what it
says. Okay. Well, Dick Down in Dallas. Trey Lewis. Dick Down. Oh, this is a song.
Yeah. Went number one on the country charts, apparently.
I love it. I hope this is good. We got to do Lane Johnson.
Yeah. You about ready for Lane?
Yeah.
Cool.
This last read fires me up because this organization was put together by my good friend Taylan Lewan, who also partnered on it with Haley Hubbard. Taylin is the boy Taylor's wife, but it is Feeding Nashville. Shout out Feeding Nashville, all the free shout outs. This episode of Bustin' with the Boys is brought to you by Feeding Nashville. But Nashville's been hit hard this year with the tornado in February and COVID in March. Feeding Nashville is a local organization that uses donated money to pay out-of-work chefs who create healthy meals that help feed the community. Anyone who needs a healthy meal is welcome. There are no qualifications to get a meal, so if you need it, all you have to do is sign up and it's yours. Go to feedingnashville.com to sign up. Again, there's no qualifications. Also, if you're just trying to donate, anything and everything matters. But if you want to donate and be gracious enough to do that, you can go to the website as well. That website is feedingnashville.com. This all started with two friends, Taylin and Haley, who saw their community in need. Amongst the people who get fed are people who've lost everything, first responders, and frontline workers that get fed almost every day of the week, including hospital staffs at Vanderbilt and St. Thomas. Taylin and Haley have fed over 40,000 people since March through Feeding Nashville. When available, the food is brought in from local farmers to East Nashville-based kitchen helmed by Chef Ryan and his kitchen crew. Please help in any way you can. If you're the one that is in need, if you need help, we are here to get you fed. Again, feedingnashville.com. If you need a meal, know anyone that needs a meal, you can sign up. There are no qualifications. Feedingnashville.com. Also, if you are generous enough and would like to donate, again, anything from a dollar to whatever amount is greatly appreciated, but just go to feedingnashville.com.
Oh, you're like, are you still in the hospital? Where are you?
No, I just got to the airport. We're headed back to Philly right now.
Oh, you guys. Damn.
Me and Nate Geary.
Nate Geary. I like that, dude. Yep. Oh, shit. Let me intro you real quick, and then we'll pop this shit off. That's impressive. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's not always just me now, all right? I know Will is gone, but here's what we're going to do. Lane Johnson, the three-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro cat, stud out of Philadelphia, here with me on Bustin' with the Boys. Talk about some hot, hot heat that's been going down in Philly that we're going to get down to today. But first, Lane, you had surgery. And I know you were, was it your ankle you had surgery on?
Yes, sir.
Man, so, and you, when you were on the podcast.
You're kind of breaking up on me.
See, goddamn, we're breaking, he isn't breaking up.
Yeah, no, I hear you now.
Oh, you can hear me now. All right, well, cut that part out. You know what? We might not cut that part out. What happened with your ankle? Is it the same ankle that you were dealing with this offseason when you were on the bus earlier?
Yep. So ended up getting tightrope surgery 3 weeks before the season. We tried to do the Tua kind of program. So I came back in 3 weeks, which I probably shouldn't have, and tried playing through the year, but I ended up tearing apart of my deltoid ligament, and so they had to go in and repair that, and then redo the whole tight ropes in different spots. So felt like I was on a wobbly shopping cart for most of the year. But yeah, basically the thing was just so loose, it was starting to cave in. But Mr. Bob Anderson took care of me, and should be back in about 4 months.
Oh, 4 months is not that bad at all, dude. And you were dealing with that before.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You were dealing with that before, and now
yes,
now you're back feeling good. Doing better. Now you're going to get on a flight right now. You get on a flight. Are you worried about that thing blowing up at all on you?
I'm not. They gave me some feel good stuff for the flight. So, should be taken care of. Me and a white snake over here.
White snake. Look at the boy. I like it. I saw you guys holding hands before. Is that before or after surgery? That was after surgery.
It was before and after.
Before and after. You got to hold hands all the way through, dude. From a Philadelphia Eagles standpoint, man. Well, give me your perspective about what's been going on there, because start off the year and the O-line, right? You're the dude, you're the cat. They bring back Peters for one more year. They say he'll probably come back for 10 more years, but they bring back Peters, and now like some injuries have happened, some stuff. And you know, we had the problems with the Titans with the O-line. Seems like a lot of sacks are going on now. And now your boy Carson Wentz, what happened? Do you think Carson Wentz's situation has to do with the O-line? Or is this a Carson issue just because it's Carson?
I mean, it's kind of a whole variety of issues, but I mean, we lost Brooks before the season even started. And then week two, we lost Isaac. and JP was trying to play guard for a little bit, and Dillard ended up getting hurt in training camp, so JP had to move back to left. So really, throughout the first 12 games, it's been 11 different whole O-line starting groups. So a lot of young players that came in that haven't really played a whole lot. So other than that, I mean, it's been pretty consistent of really, I guess our offensive just rhythm isn't very good. There's times where we'll be efficient in the run game. As far as our passing game goes, it just feels like it's just inconsistent and the rhythm's off as far as, what we're doing. So a lot of sacks are on the O-line and some are on Carson. I'll say about 50-50.
Wow, 50. I mean, it does. People don't realize a lot that it takes everybody, right, in protection. Wide receivers got to get open, quarterbacks get it out, and O-line's got to protect.
Yeah, that's what they don't realize, man. It's a whole, culmination of everybody. Receivers run the right routes, right timing. I mean, there's so much that goes into it. And, I mean, you know that. That's just how it goes. But, having all these different offensive line matchups or, lineups for the past 12 weeks has been – different guy up every week. So from a, standpoint, it's hard to get comfortable, I guess.
When it comes to Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz's situation, now, did Carson Wentz 2-3 years ago as a MVP, having an MVP caliber season, tears his ACL, unfortunately, later in the season, and he ends up winning a Super Bowl that year. But, from then, and I don't know shit about quarterback, right? So this is me talking out of my ass, people saying he's taking steps down. I don't watch you guys because you guys aren't in the same division nor in the same conference. So I don't watch a whole lot of the Eagles. How do you think Carson, knowing him as a person, how do you think he's dealing with this situation being the backup quarterback now? And what do you think is going to happen in the future?
I think handling how he's handled situations all year. I mean, he's been under fire, and really, I think he's handled it well professionally. I mean, obviously, it's not the situation he wants to be in, but, far as being a team player, want what's best for his team, he's that kind of guy. That's what kind of character guy he is. It's a weird situation. We haven't really done anything, really all year offensively. We have some points where we shine, but really, it's been really inconsistent. And so, I think you may have watched some of the game the other day. You get a new quarterback like that, who can, dual read, do some different stuff. It makes the defense do different things. So maybe it may open up the run game now because they may have to honor the zone read more, from the quarterback standpoint. And then, if a play breaks down, he's able to run and get a few yards. So with Jalen, I think the more he plays, the better he's going to do. I think this week will be the first, full week he's prepping as a starter instead of, taking second team reps and then getting thrown into the game. So, I think that'll be a good situation for him this week, but he's mostly been getting second team reps, all year. And then we put him in games, a couple series of games or for the past few games.
Yeah. Last year when we were going through everything, I had that PED thing. So I was running with the twos with Ryan Tannehill. And so we're playing and everyone's kind of figuring out towards camp, hey, Ryan can sling this thing. What's the deal? So obviously what happened in week six and the way that Ryan played and has continued to play, what did you see from Hurts? Is it Hurts or Hearn? Hurts, right?
Hurts.
Hurts.
Yeah.
What have you seen from him in camp? Do you expect that level of success that like Tannehill had coming out or is it going to be a little different based on the injuries and stuff like that?
I really don't know what to expect. I mean, from what I've seen in practice and in training camp, he throws a really good ball. He's super athletic and he makes good decisions. But really, I mean, it's kind of a weird situation, I guess, you had with Mariota and Tannehill. I mean, you really don't from my perspective now, I really don't know what's going to happen. But as far as, taking it serious and putting all the work in, Jalen's done that since he's been here. I think Carson's done a good job, leading by example. All those quarterbacks, I mean, they – nonstop workers. But really, I just think it's, when you get somebody new, the defense may not know what to expect. So you see like guys like Lamar Jackson, it takes a while for the league to catch up to some players. They may have a superb year one year, and then, it takes a while to catch up to them. But, they got the Saints this week. They're rocking and rolling. They got a really good defense, backs against the wall. So there's a time to get anything going, any type of sparks going, this is a week. So with really nothing to lose.
And you guys have done that in the past, right? Obviously, when Carson got hurt, backs were against the wall, and I'm going to win a Super Bowl with your the coach you have now. So that's it. Doesn't sound like you guys have been in that situation before. It sounds like you guys are in a, you know, it doesn't seem like it's that hard of a thing for you guys to do, back against the wall type fight, scratch and crawl kind of thing.
Yeah, and NFC East is just so, we're just so good this year. It's really competitive. So
it's, you know, the most competitive league. Yep.
You know, if you win five games, hell, you may be in the playoffs. So that's where we're at, Taylor.
Where do you guys stand at now in the playoff run? Are you guys in first, second, or third?
I think we're in third. We were in first for a while, and we had that tie with Cincinnati, and so we were maybe a game and a half ahead of the guys. And then over the past 2 weeks, we kind of let the Giants and the football team catch up to us. So I think I'm not sure who's one or two out of them, but I know that we're third right now. We're flying third.
Yeah, but you guys are still in the driver's seat, man. You guys can go win a couple games. Definitely the Washington football team beating the Steelers was definitely a kick in the nuts, definitely in the divisional race, man. No, I don't think anybody expected that to happen.
I think the Steelers needed that, though. Like, it takes the edge off of them where they don't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
You get beat by a team that's not expected to beat you. At least, you know, may give you an extra chip on your shoulder heading into the playoffs.
Getting no doubt. I think Eric Ebron tweeted about that today, how it was, you know, they needed that type of situation. Let's say the Eagles don't make the playoffs.
Yep.
Who is winning the Super Bowl this year? So you're out of it, right? Like, and then just so you don't play biasm.
Yep. I mean, it's hard to bet against the Chiefs. And then, you know, really, you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers, too, who may sneak in there, too. He's a guy that's kind of a dark horse. So I'm saying maybe these two teams.
Yep, definitely left out the Titans in that thing, but I won't hold it against you. It's a possibility. It's all right. People sleeping on us forever, buddy.
Tempur-Pedic over there? They just stay sleeping on y'all?
It's a Tempur-Pedic, dude. It's the top-notch one, too, man. It's all good.
You know what people don't realize is that Tannehill was I know he's a Big 12 receiver, a first-team All-Big 12 at receiver for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Had the most. People don't really realize that, what kind of athlete he is.
No, I asked him before. I was like, you think you could still play a game at receiver? He goes, yeah, I think I could play one. He said the lateral is not as what it used to be, but that's straight line speed. He can take off on folks now. He's sleeping. You know what I'm saying? He's sleeping.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that Josh McCown, who was 41 or 40 last year when he played with us, when he was with Detroit, he played a game at receiver. You should go check out the highlights. It's pretty entertaining.
Dude, Josh McCown, was he on practice squad for a little bit with you guys?
This year, and he got picked up by the Texans. So he was at the house. I don't know if he's coaching his son in high school football or he had a good dig going. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I heard about that. I do want to hear about it before I let you go, because so he's on practice squad for the Philadelphia Eagles, but he didn't have to be at Philadelphia. He could stay in Texas or wherever he's from and coach his kid.
Yeah, it was like, you know, for an emergency situation, kind of like what we didn't want what happened to the Broncos happened to us with the quarterback situation. So that was kind of the reason behind it. So, but a few weeks ago, he ended up going to the Texans. So. He switched sides on us.
Damn. And he's got to be in Houston?
Yeah, he lives there in Jacksonville, which is kind of close to Dallas.
Yeah.
But, it's not too far, a few hours. So, he's got a good gig. He's got a damn good gig going.
Good for him, man. Happy for him. He's got another year under the belt, 41 years old, crushing it, dude. Hey, next time you have anything happen to you, we got to go under the knife. Tell the Philadelphia Eagles not be cheap and get you the jet. My God, I can't believe you're flying commercial right now. It's ridiculous.
Just hope I'm in first. I mean, if I'm not, at least can I get an exit row.
Yeah, get that exit row piece.
I got this big scooter. We got to have somewhere to put it.
Hey, how dead is that airport? I haven't been in an airport since this whole COVID thing
started. Man, there's a – I mean, we're in Green Bay, Wisconsin right now. There's probably six people in this whole airport.
That's where you went to get surgery, is Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Yeah, so actually me and Nate bummed a ride up here on Saturday with the team and then ended up do like a consultation Sunday, then we had surgery yesterday.
No way.
Yep.
That is funny, dude. You're going back to Philly now?
Back to Philly now.
And now are you going to stay in Philly and do your rehab there, or are you going to go back home?
Yeah. I'll probably go back home for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't know. OTAs, I don't know if that's going to happen this year. Usually around that time you start, you know, coming back and rehabbing, but who knows, man. Hey, nobody knows what's going to happen.
You and I both know that missing OTAs is never a bad thing.
Hey, never a bad thing.
never a bad thing.
Especially at this point in our career.
No question, dude. Well, I'll tell you what, I hope you get healthy Next time you get in a flight to go home, use a jet. You have a fat, fat contract. So I'm proud of you. Happy for you, dude.
What are you doing?
We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Good hearing from you, buddy.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.